Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining in for this episode of Causes or Cures. I'm Dr. Eakes, your host. I hope everyone is doing well and staying healthy and not sick. But if you are sick, particularly ill with an infectious type of disease, I hope you'll feel better soon, and perhaps you'll learn something about yourself in today's episode. Did you ever hide the fact that you were sick with an infectious illness, like the flu, for example, or COVID? You don't have to answer me, but just be honest with yourself. And if you did hide the fact that you were sick, did you ever ask yourself why? Why did you do it? And if you're doing it, how many others out there are also doing it? Today, we are chatting with Dr. Wilson Merrill about his research on how many people hide the fact that they are sick with an infectious disease and when, why, and how they do it. This is a juicy one because it is one of those studies that holds a mirror up to us, right? And shows us who we are versus how we present ourselves to the world. Like, why do we do these things? All right. We are going to connect to Dr. Wilson here in a few seconds. But first, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, like, share, rate it. And just so you know, I started adding the podcast episodes on my YouTube channel. If that is your avenue of approach to podcasts, there you go. My YouTube is at Eakes on Health, Eakes on Health, where you will also find quirky health videos mixed in with the serious podcast ones. All right. So enough for me, and let's now connect to Wilson. One second here, guys. All right, everybody, we are connecting to Wilson, and we're going to talk about a really interesting study that he and his team did about when people conceal infectious disease, which is, obviously a kind of a really timely topic given COVID. But first, Wilson, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on. I'm currently a postdoctoral researcher at Aarhus University in Denmark. And just a few months ago, I completed my PhD from the University of Michigan in social psychology. So I consider myself to be an evolutionary social psychologist. Do a lot of research on the psychology of infectious illness. So how do we avoid pathogenic infections and what happens when we get sick? To not let others know that we're sick. And then I also have separate lines of research on other social psychological topics like intergroup relations and the ecologies that we live in, the resources that we have, and how we share them with others. But obviously, the topic today in the paper is on infectious disease, which is a primary line of research that I have during my PhD and now moving on forward as well.
Okay, so you finished your PhD a few months ago. Oh,
Yeah, in
congratulations.
December,
Okay,
so
okay.
lived in Ann Arbor for 5.5 years, defended my dissertation, and moved to Denmark last month. So,
Really,
a lot of changes.
Denmark. Wow, that's a big change.
Got an opportunity to work on a nice grant-funded project through the Danish government with some cool new collaborators. Got to live in a new country. Moved here with my partner, who also got a job here. So, kind of the stars aligned from going from Ann Arbor, Michigan, to Denmark here.
That's cool. Good for you. And of course, congrats on your PhD and
Thanks,
you're
thanks.
officially a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have to ask, you mentioned you do sorts of research behind, I guess, what people are thinking during infectious disease outbreaks and that sort of thing. But how did you get interested in this particular area of research?
Yeah, so when I was an undergrad, I was an economics and psychology double major. And a lot of the research I did as an undergraduate kind of stayed separate of like doing the econ things, econy, doing the psych things, psyche. But I noticed that there's this overlap in how we think about evolutionary psychology or sort of like our functional adaptive behaviors. It's a very economical process of thinking about the costs and benefits of interacting with other people. And so when it came time to apply to grad school, I was really interested in these like evolutionary processes. And one of the labs that I was looking at happened to be with Dr. Josh Ackerman, who talks about like the costs and benefits of certain types of evolutionarily relevant behaviors, a lot of times specifically in the context of infectious disease. And now this was in 2018. And so we were thinking about things of like showing people disgusting pictures and rotten food and seeing what kind of response they had there. And then obviously 2 years later, COVID hit, and that kind of shifted the program of research of like, this isn't just an evolutionarily relevant threat that we've had to navigate for millennia and millennia, both in humans and other species, but this is something that's happening right now. So how do our perspectives, how are they informed by both this kind of evolutionary line of thinking and also like this global pandemic that is all around us? So I was interested in the infectious disease stuff before COVID hit, and then it presented an interesting challenge once that happened to kind of the program of research moving forward.
Yeah, I bet it did. It's not often that you're hit with a pandemic when you're getting your PhD, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about how you did your study? Just kind of give us the highlights, a general overview of the method section.
Yeah, definitely. So we had a bunch of different studies, both reported in the main paper and the supplement, probably about 10 in total. And the general methods were we were sending out online surveys to people and asking them about either their past instances of concealment behavior. If they were currently sick, we would ask them about how likely they'd be to conceal today or tomorrow. And then we also had some studies asking people about how likely they would be to conceal at some point in the future. And I think kind of one of the main studies that we ran here is where we asked healthcare employees and students at the University of Michigan about their past concealment tendencies while they're in social situations. So we asked them, when you felt sick, what did you do? Did you tend to stay home? Did you come into work? If you did come into work, did you like go to class or go hang out at a friend's house or something? Did you take active steps while you were doing this to hide the fact that you were sick from others in some way? And what were those steps? So it was a mix of kind of very targeted questions, but also giving them these kind of open-ended opportunities for them to describe their potential concealment behavior to us.
Okay, great. And if I remember correctly, I wrote this number down. So you had over 4,100, a little over that in total
participants. Yeah, across
okay.
10 studies.
Across 10 studies.
Yeah.
And healthcare employees, which is interesting. Because
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited to hear about that one. And just for our listeners, were you focused on COVID specifically in your survey questions, or was it you were?
No, we actually
oh, you
were
okay.
explicitly not focused on COVID. So
okay.
In all of the studies, we asked participants not to think about times when they were sick with COVID, because we have to think back to the times when these data were collected, which was ranging anywhere from around March 2020 all the way up to this past year in like October 2023. The way people were thinking about COVID during this time changed immensely from the moralization of COVID. If there was a time when if you were sick with COVID, people thought you were like a bad person. And so we wanted to kind of control for all of that. And so across all of our studies, we said, we want you to think about times that you were sick, but not times that you were sick with COVID. So it's specifically not about COVID that we were asking about in our
okay.
studies.
Okay. I think that's really important to put out given the time frame here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the results that you found.
One of the big takeaways is that a large majority of people told us openly, again, we're just these random researchers and they're filling out an online survey. They told us that they had hidden the fact that they were sick from other people during in-person situations. These were healthcare employees. These were undergraduate students. These were samples of online workers all across the country. About 75% of people across all our studies said that they had hidden their infectious illness from somebody else while they were in person at some point in the past or had intentions to do so in the future. And this is a really big number to us because usually in psychological research, when we're asking people to report on some undesirable quality like lying or deception or concealing their infectious illness while they're going into work, people tend to suppress their responses. There's some desirability to say, oh no, I would never do something like that. And so the 75% number when we ran our first study was really shocking at the number of people who not only had done this, but were willing to report it to us, oftentimes in great detail in these like written responses of exactly what caused them to conceal. So I think the first big takeaway is that a large majority of people have concealed at some point in the past or have intentions to do so in the future. I think the second big takeaway that's important is that people's concealment tendencies differed depending on whether they were currently sick or healthy. So in one study, we asked people, healthy people, we said, imagine that you're sick with an illness that's either like a 10 out of 10, super harmful, severe symptoms, you're going to spread it to others. How likely would you be to conceal that illness in like a workplace setting? And people said, oh no, I wouldn't conceal if it was super harmful. I would definitely just tell my boss, stay home, whatever. But then if we asked a separate group of people, Okay, now imagine that you are sick with an illness that's like a 1 out of 10. You know, it's not that bad, maybe just the sniffles or something like that. It's probably not going to get spread to others. And they said, oh, yeah, I'd be much more comfortable concealing that illness. But then contrast that with people who are currently sick. So these are people that we recruited who are either sick with a 1 out of 10 illness or sick with a 10 out of 10 illness in terms of how harmful it would be to others. There was no relationship between how harmful their illness actually was and their concealment tendencies. So in other words, they were equally likely to conceal extremely harmful illnesses and not harmful illnesses at all. So it seems to matter a lot if we're currently sick or not in terms of our psychologies of what may lead us to conceal or not.
That's really interesting. And what do you, I'll get back to the 75% number because that is a lot, but what do you make of this? The difference between, you know, people who are actively sick, and even it doesn't matter if it's harmful or not, or if it's perceived as harmful or not, they'll conceal it. That seems odd, right?
Yeah, and it matches with some literature and social psychology on what we call state-specific biases. So the easiest one to think about here is you might set some intention to quit smoking or to go on a diet or go to the gym. But then when it comes time to actually do that, when you're in the heightened state of really not wanting to work out or really wanting to eat those sugary, fatty foods, your psychology is different of the costs and the benefits. Maybe the benefits of eating that food feels more immediate or something like that. And so we didn't have this in our studies, but we think something that might be going on is that the experience of sickness, all of the physiological responses you're having, as well as all of the just general feeling down and bad and things like that, it could somehow influence the way we're thinking about both the costs of missing out on social situations and the benefits of hiding our illness from others. So this is something that we could explore in a future study where we're really trying to probe what is it about the experience of sickness that seems to be leading people to discount or not think as deeply about how harmful their illness might be to others.
I wonder too, when you ask the question, how harmful is your illness? How well do you think that registered with the respondents? You know, because nobody probably likes to think about if I go out and, you know, infect someone who, right, may be immunocompromised, and they get really sick and they end up in the hospital, they could die. Like, do you have any sort of idea how they were thinking about that word harmful?
So we had a few different ways of harm was measured, not just in symptom severity. So we asked them things like, how disruptive are these symptoms to your everyday life, but also in terms of transmission risk. So how easily do you think this could be spread to others? And this is kind of a common way of thinking about risk of how bad would it be if it happened and how likely is it to happen? But what we don't know is, like you're saying, were they thinking about, is this spreading to someone who's immunocompromised? Is it spreading to someone who is fit and strong and totally healthy or something like that? These are things we don't know, but those are the types of experiences of when you're sick, you might be thinking about different ways that you could be spreading your illness to others. That could be something that we're discounting as we're not thinking about spreading it to vulnerable populations or something like that. But we'd have to explore that in future studies.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting to think about, like, what are you thinking about when you're sick? What do you think about when you're not sick? So let's go back to the 75% number. Obviously, that's a lot. I just wanted to ask, since you had healthcare workers and everyone sort of has this perception that, you know, maybe they're a little bit more responsible or think about these things. Did you look at that specific population of folks and notice anything different? Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah. So we found that around 61% of healthcare employees reported concealing illness compared to the average of 75%. I think undergraduate students were up close to 85 or 88% or something like that too, which I think people would expect as well. So it does seem like there's some sensitivity for healthcare employees. This could be for a variety of different reasons that we didn't really probe into. But it does seem like we're seeing lower concealment rates, or at least lower reported concealment rates out of that group that we sampled.
That's still high. That's just,
yes.
more than 50%. And can you talk a little bit about the reasons or things that people did that they reported doing while they were concealing an illness? Just because I think it'll be interesting for folks to hear.
Totally. So a wide variety of concealment behaviors were reported. We kind of broke them into three different categories. So one of them was concealment by commission. So this was any sort of like active steps that someone took to hide the fact they were sick. This could be wearing more makeup, changing the types of clothing they were wearing, talking less, or trying to just kind of downplay any cues of like eye redness, runny nose, coughing, sort of that way. So that's like the commission category. Then there's the omission category, which is you're going around sick and you're just not telling anyone. So maybe you are sticking to yourself or something like that, but you're just It's lying by omission. You're not doing anything active. It's just a very passive strategy. And then the third one we looked at during COVID at the University of Michigan, we had something called ResponsiBlue, which was like this app, this daily screener that anytime you entered a university building, you had to fill out this screener check and say, no, I don't have a fever. No, I haven't any symptoms. No, I haven't tested positive and things like that. And so we also explicitly asked people if they've ever misused that app in some way or maybe not been entirely truthful with their responses on that app. So those are the three ways that people reported concealing. And again, a variety of behaviors across all of those types of people trying to just ensure that there were no cues of illness present when they were interacting with other people.
So that's the concealment aspect. And did people give reasons why, like why they were doing this?
So the reasons we found were largely social. So a lot of people talked about things like, I didn't want to miss out going to X event. This could have been a party, it could have been class, it could have been work, doctor's appointments. Like people gave a whole host of different social gatherings, social things that they could do where they're involved with other people that they didn't want to miss. And so they wanted to hide the fact that they were sick in order to be able to still achieve kind of some of these affiliation or social goals, ranging from friendships to romantic partners to professional obligations. It was really a broad span. One interesting reason people said that they concealed was actually to not make other people nervous or anxious. So they said it was this sort of other-oriented motivation. So they said, I didn't want people around me to worry, so I hid the fact that I was sick. And we always thought that this was a really funny response because I think for a lot of us, we would be more worried if we knew that our friends were around us hiding the fact that they were sick and they weren't being truthful or honest and forthcoming and things like that. But again, there's some mental process going on where people sort of justify to themselves by like, oh, I don't want to make other people worried or anxious or something like that, in addition to the more self-oriented processes like, I want to go out tonight or I want to go to work or class or something like that.
We're so weird.
Yes.
I mean, right? Like
In so many ways.
we're paradoxical. So basically you're saying this is like a dangerous case of FOMO, like the fear of missing out. This is, yeah,
A
that's
lot of the
crazy.
motivations are related to just the social nature we have as humans
Interesting.
that we want to be. And sometimes it's, we have to be certain places. And a very small subset of participants said, like, I had to be here. I could not miss this. But a lot of times it's like this closeness to others, this social nature that we really want to be around other people. And we know from so much literature that when you see any signs of sickness in others, you might have an emotional reaction like disgust. You might have a physical reaction like social distance. And so it makes a lot of sense that if you're highly motivated to be social and be friends with people around you, that you would want to hide and suppress any cues that could make you seem less desirable to them.
Still 75%. We're essentially, would you call us liars?
It's tricky, and it's been funny to see kind of some of the reactions online after this paper has
Yeah.
come out. People saying things like, anytime I mask up, I just show this research to people around me because everyone's a liar. You can't trust anyone. I think that's one interpretation. I think the interpretation our team is kind of going for is that these are social pressures that all of us face. It's not that everyone is a dishonest, lying person. It's that almost everyone, or at least 75% of us, are put in situations where we feel these pressures or this tension between concealing the fact that we're sick and maybe putting other people in harm's way, or potentially missing out on some social opportunity in the professional space or the social relationship space or something like that.
It's interesting because I would have thought, and maybe you did get a response, a lot of responses, people going to work because they felt like they had to go to work and they were afraid of losing their job or something like that. Did you see a lot of that?
We saw a surprisingly small amount. So these would
Wow.
be like explicit mentions of people saying like, I didn't have enough paid time off, so I had to go in, or I was going to fail this class if I didn't go in. A very small number of people explicitly reported that to us. We think that it could be a driving factor, some sort of institutional pressures or policies, but it wasn't what people were telling us in these open responses. Much more commonly, it was things like, I had a team meeting with my coworker, so I wanted to go in. I didn't want to miss that. Like it would have been a hassle if I missed it or something, but it wasn't strictly about like, I'm afraid of losing my job. Now, this could have been reflected in the type of samples that we had. Healthcare employees, presumably, we hope, have like good measures and metrics for how to take sick leave and things like that to protect vulnerable populations. Again, during COVID with students, I think professors were being a lot more flexible in terms of like attendance policy, things like that. But we are currently running some follow-ups specifically cross-culturally to see how different sorts of institutional pressures or even healthcare settings that people might find themselves in with regards to health insurance or taking time off could potentially be influencing factors. But we're just not sure right now because these explicit reports in our studies were so low of saying, hey, I didn't have enough PTO and that's why I had to conceal. We just weren't seeing that as much in our studies that we had.
I'm just thinking about myself and the times that I downplayed an illness. But, you know, I don't know if this came up in your study, but one thing that came to mind for me was you feel the pressure from your friends to go somewhere and they like actually don't believe you, maybe, or they're like, oh, come on, you're not that sick. Like, come on out. So you did see some of that?
Well, it gets at this interesting trade-off because we talk a lot about concealment and that's the focus of our paper. But a lot of work shows that people also exaggerate illness a lot to get out of social events. So it's kind of this double-edged sword where if someone's telling you that they're sick or they're not telling you that they're sick, it could be for concealment reasons. It could be for exaggeration reasons. And we kind of need to, as social observers, try and understand the information we're getting from that. Another really common one we had was, oh, it's just allergies. Like, oh, it's not something contagious. It's something like more innocuous like that. And so you can see that happening both from the actor side of the person doing the concealing or from their friends who may want them to go out or something like that. I think that's totally plausible.
It's so interesting. And you're so right, because people do use that excuse a lot. And then we condition other people to be like, oh, are they telling the truth? Or do they just not want to hang out with me or meet me? That kind of thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So both can serve to kind of achieve whatever social goal we want. It's like an interesting way to signal to others about our underlying state.
So how, if at all, do you think the results of your study should impact how we manage the potential spread of infectious disease? Or did you do the study kind of just to sort of point out these nuances and maybe paradoxical exchanges among humans?
Yeah, it was more the latter. It was more to try and understand and kind of describe this phenomenon that we had a hunch was something that was common both during the COVID-19 pandemic, but also before. You know, even in other animal species, there's some evidence of downplaying sickness behaviors in social settings and things like that. And so we really wanted to highlight that this is something that does happen in humans as well. And also that there are different psychological processes in terms of how we're thinking about how harmful our illness will be to others that depends on whether we're currently healthy or currently sick. We do think that there are lots of interesting public health implications, potential interventions to try and reduce concealment behaviors, specifically within organizations. We think that's really important, but we didn't have anything in our studies to specifically test those sorts of things.
So just from a personal opinion here, do you think we're an altruistic species?
What does this make you think?
Oh, you do? Oh, you do? Okay.
I do think that we're an altruistic species. I think that sometimes we can be in states that may make us behave in more self-interested ways. I think one of the really interesting interventions that could be explored is a lot of stuff when it comes to like reducing the spread of infectious disease is sort of like, stay home if you're sick, protect others. This was like a huge like public health messaging, at least in the United States, during COVID and beyond. But one interesting factor that hasn't been explored is try and downplay the importance of some of these social goals, because presumably people are concealing to explore these social networks and these avenues, but maybe say, hey, missing out on this one event isn't that big of a deal. Missing out on going to this party or hanging out with your friends, or like if you're gone for one day from work, it's okay. You can just make that up. That sort of messaging hasn't really been explored. I think that would be an interesting intervention to kind of reduce this self-oriented bias that we have.
Just thinking about FOMO, like really, it's kind of crazy, like how, you know, these things can really drive us to such lengths for social participation, likes. I don't know what it is. This was great. Thank you so much for coming on. So you mentioned you're doing more research. You're continuing sort of in the same area in Denmark.
Yeah. So I've got some new research interests related to like intergroup relations, which is totally separate from the disease stuff for now. But we do have some follow-ups planned about infectious disease concealment. Specifically, we've got some cross-cultural studies planned. So we're currently collecting data in 22 different countries. I think it was 22 is the latest, trying to understand, do we see these high rates of concealment everywhere? What sort of cultural variables might predict some countries wanting to conceal more or less? We're also looking at concealment and leadership. So specifically, why might different types of leaders want to hide the fact that they're sick? And what sort of influence does this have for their followers in terms of how they behave when they're sick? Obviously highly relevant in like political spaces, but also with organizational leaders and things like that. So there's more stuff coming out in the infectious disease concealment space that we're pretty excited about.
I think we did have one, at least one high profile example of a leader here concealing the severity of their illness. That's a really fascinating topic. But so stay in touch, because this stuff is great, and it really, podcast listeners really like love stuff like this. It's about human behavior and how we interact with each other. So thanks so much for coming on. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and when you do publish these other studies, let me know. Because I'm interested personally too, working in public health and kind of like, oh, human behavior. We're so strange.
Yeah, definitely. I will be sure to reach back out when these eventually get out there.
All right, thanks. And have a good rest of your day there in Denmark.
Yes, thanks. You too. Bye. Okay,
bye.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining in for today's episode. Definitely let me know what you thought on social media, over email, on YouTube. Okay. And now for the closing quote. This one is from Rudyard Kipling from The Light That Failed. Here we go. We're all islands shouting lies to each other across seas of misunderstanding. I kind of love that. It's kind of true. All right. That's it for today. I hope you tune in next time, and have a good day, and so long for now.